Constantine.
Constantine.
Yeah, of course,
yes.
Of course. My pleasure.
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay. You're a big fan of Russia.
Yes.
Why do you love our country? For what? What do you think about it?
Can you give me 2 hours? I have to give you the 2-minute version. Well, it started when I was a teenager. And my first encounter with Russia was through literature, when I started reading Dostoevsky and Tolstoy, especially in translations. At least they were good, Spanish and English, etc. And then my first time in Russia was still during the Cold War. I was here in 85 at the beginning of Gorbachev, but only for 3 days, was not enough. And then the second time was epic. I came through the Trans-Siberian from Beijing. I arrived in Russia 1 month after the fall of the Soviet Union. And of course I was like, I said, no, I have to go back and redo 1,000 years of Russian history. And this is what my next visits to Russia was, the same thing. And now, last year I started another period where I spent a lot of time in Moscow. I spent 4 months last year, I plan to spend 6 months this year, and coming back and learning from my Russian friends and connections. And here I am a student. And because I was born in the West, I grew up in the West, and I know everything that is horrible about the West from the inside, I can compare with Russian civilization and what Russia is trying to do now, and you see an enormous contrast, a gap. And I would say the moral high ground now is with Russia. So this, and this is impossible to explain to the West, by the way, as you know better than we do.
And why do you think it's impossible till now?
Because now, not only now, I would say since the fall of the Soviet Union, during the 90s it was very easy for the West because they were exploiting Russia. But since the election of Putin in 2000, I was here. 24 years ago, I was covering the first Putin election for a big newspaper. So I spent full months here. I started to learn the devastation in Russia in the 1990s. And then, okay, who is this guy? What is he going to do for Russia? But we could never imagine 24 years later that Russia would be re-emerging as a superpower with global influence, respected all over the world, which is not the case of the West anymore. And it's a mix of civilizational war, which it is, because the nihilist West, they look at Russia and Russia is everything that they hate. Conservative, traditional values, family, you name it, you know, patriotic feelings, etc. All these things in the West are dead. They are very nihilistic. And of course, Russia is defending their interests, represented what's happening in Donbass, which I came from Donbass 2 weeks ago. And it was extremely impressive because I went back to Donetsk and my first impression arriving in Donetsk, well, this is a city still at war and very vulnerable. And I talk a lot with the local people. And then I start traveling with the Orthodox Christian military battalion. So then you understand deep Russia, what it means, which is impossible to explain to the West. So when you see all these things together, you feel it. Even in my case, I travel, I lived all over the world, but I'm still surprised at what I see. And I like to be pleasantly surprised by, wow, this is a civilization that is re-emerging. It's absolutely fascinating.
And what role do you think has Russia now in forming of multipolar
world? It's in the vanguard of towards the multipolar world. Everything that I write, basically I'm saying the basic message is there's a new world emerging. The old world is dying very fast. And the new world is being led essentially by Russia and China. Different ways, different approaches, but at the same time, quite similar in terms of two very powerful civilizational states that want a more fair and equitable world order, which is what we don't have at the moment. And Russia and China are at the forefront. Many reasons, very complex. One of them is the fact that Putin and Xi get along very well, and they talk about this all the time. And then everything goes to the rest of both governments. When you have a meeting like this, for instance, which is a real multipolar meeting, you have people from all over the world here. It's 130 nations. It's fantastic.
And is it possible to change the meaning of population in Western countries and in U.S. About Russia?
Very difficult. Because of something we're going to discuss in this meeting. They control the narrative. They control the social networks, they control the media. Everything that they say in Washington goes all over the world because they control all the channels of communication. So it's up to Russia, China, Islam, Africa, Latin America, Southeast Asia, Central Asia to have a different narrative and say, no, what's really going on in the world is this. We live here and we know. They don't live here and they don't know about the rest of the world because they don't care about the rest of the world. So that's the major difference. It's a clash of narratives. It's the unipolar narrative on one side, and now we have all those narratives from everywhere in the global south, like here, for instance, telling the story by themselves.
And where do you live now?
Good question. My third home is here. Paris, Bangkok, Moscow.
And do you speak Russian a little bit?
I need time, and I don't have time. I wish I had time. I wish I had 6 months, stop everything. Okay, I'm going to speak Russian 6 months. If I could do that, I would.
But a little bit something?
In our profession, it's a nightmare. You have to work all the time.
I see. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks.